listening to Law and Gospel on this Open Mic Friday, October the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2018. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we're only too anxious to take any phone calls that you might have on a theological question. We encourage you to phone in as soon as possible, because we tend to get a few at the end and we can't get to everybody. So the numbers are in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Yesterday we were talking about Luther's 95 Theses, and it was kind of interesting that program started at 9:30, but I got an email at 9:10, which is 20 minutes before the program started, and the person wanted to know, was I aware of Luther's 97 Theses? So I emailed back and said, no, it was the 95, and I spoke about it on the air today, told them how to get a hold of a copy in the archives. But maybe some of you have a question about these 95 statements that many feel began the Reformation. I don't, because if you go through these statements, guess what? Many of them still talk about purgatory and indulgences. What Luther was trying to do was to correct what he felt were abuses by the Pope and others in regard to this. For example, number 87, he says, what does the Pope remit or grant to those who by perfect contrition, which is repentance, already have a right to full remission and blessings? And that's really kind of what Luther was kind of going towards. Well, without further ado, let's go to the phone calls right now. We'll start with Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on the air. How can I help you?
Hi, Pastor. I'm your at least one faithful listener from New Berlin, Illinois.
Oh, excellent.
I wanted you to explain to me and comfort me with Romans 14:12. Now I'll hang up and listen.
Do you have a specific question on Romans 14:12?
Well, I just want to make sure that when I get to heaven, if I have to give account of all my sins, I'm going to hold the line up a bit.
Oh. Well, you better not be behind me, because you'll never make it.
Well.
You get what I'm meaning?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'll be glad to take a look at that. It's, so then teach, each of us will give an account of himself to God. That's the one that you're concerned about, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, I'll be glad to talk about that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All righty. What I want to say with that is, unless you know the distinction between law and gospel, this can be a really bad verse. Because it sounds like we're going to be giving an account of ourselves of how well we did while we were here on earth. And that seems to contradict the Bible, where it says that we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by grace through faith. There's even a passage in Corinthians where God says he'll do it on the basis of the works that we did, which were good, and those which were bad. So that gets even worse. And then the Sermon on the Mount, after going through all the commandments by thought, word, and deed that Jesus does there, he says, therefore, you'll be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. We can understand during this Reformation why Luther hated God. Because every time he talked and read about righteousness, he was thinking that it was his righteousness that he has to give an account of himself. Now, let me give you a really simple verse, because I use this one a lot. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. God appears to say to the sheep that they're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? Well, look it. They visited people in prison. They helped out the needy, etc. And if you don't do a close reading of that, it sounds like they're giving an account of the works that they did, and God is saying their works were suitable in order to get them into heaven. But that is a complete misunderstanding of that, as this verse here, where it says that we will give an account of ourselves to God. We need to understand that when the Bible talks like this, it's not talking about how we would give an account about ourselves, but how God recognizes how to give an account. In the sheep and the goats, the sheep are not the only ones who visit people in prison. Goats do also. But God does not consider them to be doing the fruit of the Holy Spirit because a goat is an unbeliever. They don't have that motivation. They're doing all their works out of self-interest. So if you do not have a vertical relationship to God, that is trusting the gospel promises of Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for you, then you only can have a horizontal relationship with the world. And you will try and make yourself look good, not only to your neighbors, but if you believe in some kind of a God, to your God also, so you can give an account of your own works to God. But it's very clear from Matthew 25 that Jesus is not looking at their works as the cause of why they're going to heaven, because he's already said they're going to inherit salvation. That's right, just before the parable begins. So what do you do to inherit something? Nothing. It's a gift. Therefore, what are these works doing in Jesus' language? They are not the cause of salvation. They are the evidence that you are a believer. Now, a Christian does many, many fruit of the Holy Spirit without realizing it, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit from your baptism, and therefore you have thoughts that unbelievers never have. You do deeds that unbelievers wouldn't even think of doing. And you have relationships with others because of that trust in Jesus Christ. It's kind of spontaneous and automatic. So, when you appear before God, you're not going to appear before him naked, like Adam and Eve were after they sinned. You're going to appear before him wearing the robe of Christ's righteousness. Therefore, the account you're going to give of yourself is really the fruit of the Holy Spirit that you spontaneously did out of love for Jesus Christ, which God recognizes. You will not have to stand before God and give an account of all your sins. I'm not even sure we're going to be reminded of our sins, but we will be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So it's kind of like you're in a race and you're not doing too good, but the winner gives you the crown. He transfers it over to you. And so, therefore, when somebody asks, well, give an account of yourself, guess what? You are righteous in the sight of God because of the blood of Christ, because of his robe of righteousness. I'm not afraid to give an account of myself before God on Judgment Day, because from a law gospel point of view, it won't be an account of the works that I did by myself. It will be instead the fruit of the Holy Spirit that God enabled me to do. It's really quite a difference. So we pray that you will not have fear of this, because God has made it very clear that we are saved by Christ. Let's go on down the line and let's talk with Roland. Hi, Roland. You're on the air.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi.
Yesterday's portals of prayer, the text was Ezekiel 14, and it was the last half of the chapter. And I've never read that before. I just use the portals of prayer, and I just read the text that's for the day.
Yes.
And I never read that before. And why hasn't a preacher gave me a sermon on that? Been a lifelong Lutheran. I've never heard that sermon on that text before. It's kind of like the 10 virgins, but it's with Job and Noah and Daniel. And I was just amazed when I read across it. Could you comment on that?
Now, are you talking about Ezekiel chapter 14, where, yes, like verse 14, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would deliver but their own lives by their righteousness, declares the Lord God. Yes, I'm not remembering that Ezekiel 14, this section, is part of the traditional set of readings. See, we pastors, we either follow a one-year system of readings, and there are four readings each Sunday, a psalm, an Old Testament, an epistle, and a gospel, or a three-year set of readings. Now, that probably only covers, all 3 years, 10% of the Bible. So where you would pick this up would be in maybe a Bible study they're having on the book of Ezekiel or something like that. But I would have to preach, if I was going to preach on every passage in the Bible, I'd probably have to preach for about 130 years. And so it doesn't surprise me. There are thousands of items in the Bible that are so comforting that people don't hear about. And a lot of times, if you don't have a preacher to interpret them rightly, you can read a section and not be aware of this, the good things that are happening as it is found in Ezekiel 14. So I don't see a problem with not being able to remember a passage of the Bible, because it's just a very few selected ones that we take a look at.
Okay.
All righty?
I think it'd make a good sermon.
Oh, I think so, too. And so I appreciate your call. You really appreciated the portals of prayer, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes, that is a little magazine put out by Concordia Publishing House. And you're welcome to phone them, and you can get them sent to your home if you can't pick them up in church. I usually am attending a church that hands them out, and so that's how I pick up my copy. But they are, they have three writers, because they go for 3 months. And each writer has a whole month, and you can kind of trace how that writer interprets the Bible each month. But they're very helpful, aren't they, Roland?
They are. I read it every day.
Thank you very much for calling. God bless.
Thank you.
All righty. And we're going to go on down the line, and let's talk with Mike. I don't think you've ever called before.
No, I don't think so.
No, who are you? Who are you?
Yeah, but anyway, I was, you know, they always talk about, well, you're saved through your works, or faith and good works, like they talk about in James's epistle. But if you look in the book of Job, he was on the path of righteousness because he feared God and he avoided evil. So avoiding evil was the thing that he did, you know, to be on the path of righteousness.
Well, that path of righteousness doesn't refer to the righteousness that saves, but the righteousness that human beings recognize. He was a very righteous man. He was an honorable man. You could trust his word and this sort of thing. And yet, look what he did when he ran into problems. He couldn't figure out God until God came and spoke to him. So I see the book of Job as God playing a trick on Satan, saying, okay, do what you want to do with Job, except don't put him to death.
Right.
Because I'm going to, through his suffering, increase his faith so he recognizes he's not righteous by what he does. He's righteous by what I have done.
Yeah, but don't you think that, well, see, the devil said that that he would curse God to his face if, you know, if he caused him all kinds of problems by taking his prosperity away and his health and different things. But actually, of course, the opposite happened. It increased his fear of God, and he was, like, more afraid of God.
Yes, that's a really good point, Mike. But remember, a few of his friends were telling him, oh, Job, you must have done something wrong for God to be doing this. And he rejected that. So every time I suffer, Mike, my faith increases because I gather together more knowledge about God. For example, in this month's Lutheran Witness, they're talking about individuals who go into depression. And I just heard from one of the leaders of our synod that he had had a time of depression, but it really helped him to understand what pastors are going through when they get depressed. So sometimes suffering makes a big difference. I know even when I was a pastor for a long time and somebody's child would die, well, I would give them the right verses and this sort of thing. But I wasn't as sympathetic until one of my sons died in a motorcycle accident.
Wow.
And therefore, in that way, like Job, I came to understand God in a way that I could therefore translate for other people who also experience such deaths.
I just thought of one more thing before I forget, but
go ahead,
you know,
Mike.
You were talking about cemeteries that are open 24 hours a day.
Yes.
There's a Jewish cemetery on Gravois in Afton, and it's open 24 hours.
Well, that's fine, but the one we have our son in is not open 24 hours. It closes at night. The gates close,
yes,
and such. So it all depends the area you're in, but I sure appreciate that, Mike.
All
thank
right.
you so much.
I'll see you.
Yes, God bless. So anybody else may have a question. We got a few more minutes. 821-0850. That's the number in St. Louis, 821-0850. Or anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. And yesterday I mentioned, boy, I'm not going to have time on that Thursday, even though Wes Reimnes was even here, to go through all 95 statements that Luther made that many believe began the Reformation. But I want to read this one, number 84. What is this new piety of God and the Pope that for a consideration of money, they permit a man who is impious and their enemy to buy out of purgatory the pious soul of a friend of God, and do not rather, because of the need of that pious and beloved soul, free it for pure love's sake? Now, I experienced that. One of my best friends was Roman Catholic, and he had a sister. And the sister went to a Roman Catholic worship service on All Saints Day. And I asked her, why'd you go to church today? And she was told by the priest that if she attended church, she could get a relative out of purgatory, and she had done so to get her aunt out of purgatory. I found that really interesting. Of course, I totally disagreed with her that her aunt wasn't in purgatory because she was a believer. She was already in heaven. But this is something that Luther was speaking out against, that for an amount of money, a coin into the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, Bill. You're on the air.
Pastor Baker, hello, sir.
Yes, sir.
A few weeks ago, I had called you and asked you how I could get my mind around Jesus paying eternal death and being resurrected at the same time.
Yes.
When the punishment is death. No, not a sleep. It's death. I've been thinking about it for these last few weeks, and that the first Adam is not coming back. Am I correct? The second Adam is the resurrected one. Am I off base in that regard to understand it?
Well, actually, if we think about the first Adam, according to the Bible, that's the Adam who was in the Garden of Eden. The second Adam is Jesus, who restores us back to a relationship with God so that we now are like the first Adam. God regards you as sinless and righteous in his sight because of what Jesus Christ has done for Bill. And therefore, you are restored from a fallen Adam to a first Adam because of the second Adam, namely Jesus Christ, who took upon himself your sins.
So, me being grafted into Christ, I actually become what he is.
Very good. Yes.
Okay, I become what he is, and so therefore, in Godville, I call it, I have never, ever sinned.
From God's point of view, there has been no sin any longer that he recognizes because Jesus paid every price on the cross, Bill.
In evidence, you know, forensically, in that transaction, I never have sinned.
Yes.
I get that blows my mind.
You will not be reminded of sin on the day of Judgment Day.
God can't remember it. It's gone. See a forgetfulness. Isn't
he himself,
wild?
Remember, he even says that. I will no longer remember your sin.
Yeah.
That's a Bible verse.
I guess saying that he no longer remembers it, in the only place that God can be is if God just say dispenses with it, that it never occurred.
That's correct.
So it's not there. No, that's completely erased.
Yes.
And one more thing about Job that you were just speaking with.
Yes, sir.
Was Job not realizing that it wasn't about his works that made him righteous? Is that the lesson he learned?
The lesson?
And I'll hang up and let you count.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All righty. I hardly ever preached on Job when I got out of the seminary until I took a course on it by a man named Horace Hummel. And he pointed out a couple of verses in Job that really show what Job is talking about. It's chapter 42 is one of them. Job, after he hears from God, here's what he says. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. That is a tremendous confession of Job, because when the trials came, he began to understand truly what God was saying to him. And what he was saying is that God is the one who created all of these things. And therefore, when Job recognized that, remember what he does? He repents in dust and ashes. From my point of view, that is the greatest thing a Christian can do. In fact, yesterday on the 95 statements from Luther, let me read for you once more the very first one of the 95. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Why is that important? Because repentance includes two aspects in the Bible. Contrition over sin. In other words, you realize that you are also responsible for putting Jesus on the cross. And the second one is trust that Jesus truly has forgiven us. That's really important. So, chapter 42, verses 5 and 6, I think are the most important for the book of Job, where he says, after God questions him, I heard you by the hearing of the ear. That means I heard rumors about you. But now my eye sees you. Now I have a proper understanding of you. Listen to verse 6. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's the goal of Christian preaching, to move us to repentance so we can hear the best news we've ever heard. I pray that you'll be attending a Reformation service Sunday. I'll be preaching. I'm also doing the Circuit Reformation in Beardstown, Illinois. I'll talk a little bit more about that on Monday and Tuesday. And that's at 7 o'clock in the evening. And on Monday, we're going to be talking about the 144,000. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.